Let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. These weeks we're walking through the book of Proverbs in a series that I've entitled Street Smarts. And we're learning how to download the wisdom of God into our lives so that we can navigate the streets, the paths of life where life takes us. And today we're going to fast forward to the end of the book, to the last verses of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. If you'll open your Bibles there, please, to Proverbs 31 and verse 10, and be good if you have your Bible open. I hope you know by now that I don't have much to say that doesn't come from the Word of God. And so you're best helped if you have your Bibles open in front of you as we study the Scriptures together. This past week, I went to pick out a Mother's Day card for Nan. And I was standing there on the aisle for the Mother's Day cards, and there were several other people who were on the same mission. And it was interesting to watch how people went about it. There were some, and I would have to say most of them were males, who walked through down the aisle. They quickly scanned all of the cards, picked up one, read the front of the card, and then off they went to the checkout. But I observed that there were others who were looking for just the right card. And they looked at the message on the front of the card, and then they did something strange. They actually opened up and read the inside of the card. And when they found just the right one, they'd made their selection. They went on their way to pay for it. Now, which kind of card buyer are you? Well, ancient Israel had Mother's Day cards, I would dare say that the passage of Scripture that we have before us today would have been one of the most popular Mother's Day cards ever. Because what you find here, beginning in Proverbs 31, verse 10, is actually a very beautiful poem that was written to honor not just moms, but women and wives in general. In fact, it's a very beautiful poem. It is what is called an acrostic poem. And by that, we mean that each successive verse, there's 22 verses beginning in verse 10 and going through verse 31, each successive verse begins with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So verse 10 starts with the Hebrew letter Aleph. The first word in verse 11 is the Hebrew starts with the Hebrew letter bet. The first word in verse 12 begins with the Hebrew letter gimel, and all the way through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, we're not sure who penned this particular proverb, but whoever did went to a tremendous effort and time to be able to choose just the right words to extol the beauty of the woman that we find described here in Proverbs 31. It was a work of art. And his or her intention was not just for it to be beautiful, but also for it to be memorable, because that was the purpose of an acrostic poem like this. Psalm 119 is another one that's written in the similar fashion. It's for memory purposes, so that we could memorize and memorialize the great beauty of this kind of woman. That's what we have happening here, starting in verse 10, that says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." Now, the writer of this beautiful psalm, a beautiful proverb, probably had at least three things in mind when he or she wrote it. First of all, these qualities that we're going to find rolled out one after the other down through these verses, these qualities were to be aspired to by women, whether they're single or married, mothers or not. These were the qualities that women were to aspire to. Also, they were probably written as qualities that should be attractive to young men who are looking for a wife. You notice it says, a wife of noble character, who can find? And so young men looking for wives should look for this kind of woman. But third, it was these qualities that are described here, this beautiful woman, these qualities are to be appreciated by all of us, but particularly by husbands and dads and sons and daughters, to be appreciated. In fact, we come down and we'll see in just a moment at the very end of this beautiful poem, there's an enormous expression of praise and appreciation for her. Now, one of the things you're going to notice as we look at these qualities and these virtues is that nowhere is physical beauty found in this list of qualities. And you know, our culture feeds us this, that the only beauty that is really worth anything is physical beauty. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a spiritual beauty, an inner beauty that is supreme beauty. Now, I want to just point out several of these qualities that we find if we scan down through this lengthy poem, and just to highlight some of them. First of all, we see her character, the character of this woman. Verse 10, a wife of noble character who can find. A noble character is excellence. Excellence in integrity, excellence in consistency, excellence in every way that you can imagine. And this excellence is displayed in a number of different qualities that follow. For instance, there's the excellence of her helpfulness. Her character and her helpfulness. Verse 11 and 12, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And so she understands that she is most successful when she's bringing out the best in others, when she is working toward the good of others. There is her helpfulness. And then we look at verse 13 and we see her diligence. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Eager hands are willing hands. She delights in the work that she has been given to do, even though it is the hardest work, the most difficult work, the most demanding work on the face of the earth. She delights. She accepts it willfully, her diligence. And then it speaks of her strength in verse 17, her strength and stamina. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She's strong. Now, I know perhaps you're getting to this point and you're thinking, this woman is Wonder Woman. It reminds me, there was a woman who said, yeah, I'm Wonder Woman. I wonder where I left my phone. I wonder where I gained this wake. I wonder where my money has gone. I wonder where I put my keys. I wonder why I wonder. She's a Wonder Woman. Well, this woman is described for her strength. But then also, verse 20 talks about her compassion. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. So she truly cares about people. She cares about not just those in her household, but also for those who are outside of her household, her compassion. And then verse 25 speaks of her dignity. She is clothed with strength. There's the strength again. And dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And you see, this is true beauty, this dignity about her. You know, a woman's beauty, physical beauty, may attract a man to her, but a woman's spiritual beauty will attract a man to God. Do you see the difference? Her physical beauty may attract a man to her. Her spiritual beauty attracts a man to God. The man sees the beauty that comes from the Lord. But then also, in verse 26, he speaks about her wisdom, the quality of the excellence of her wisdom. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And so, how thankful we are for the women who speak truth and wisdom into our lives. Where would we be without that? Her wisdom. We're going to come back and talk about that in just a moment. But it also speaks of the excellence of her responsibility. The excellence of her responsibility. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And so she takes her work seriously. She understands that her role is an important, one of the most important jobs in all the world, her responsibility. And then ultimately, we come to verse 28 and her praise, the excellence of her praise. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And so these women are to be appreciated. They're to be honored. They're to be praised and thanked. Have you done that for your wife, your mom, the special women in your life? We did a beautiful, beautiful funeral together last Thursday. If there's such a thing as a beautiful funeral, it was Monica Ward's funeral. You know, I was thinking about the things that were said about her and the appreciation extended to her. Suppose that your mom was suddenly killed in a car wreck today. I don't mean to be morbid, but just suppose that happened. And her funeral is scheduled for Tuesday. When you come to Tuesday, what do you wish you would have said to her today? All right? You come to her funeral and all the things that are said about her, what do you wish you'd have said to her while she was still alive? Well, say it. Tell her. Express that gratitude that you feel in your heart. And by the way, if you don't know what to say, well, verse 29 tells you. All right? This is what they say. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. If you can't think of anything else to say. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. By the way, that word noble takes us all the way back to verse 10. It's the same word that is used there in verse 10 to talk about excellence. These excellent qualities. So what you have between verse 10 and verse 29 is this package of excellence. All of these qualities that are seen in this woman of noble, excellent character. Now, I'm aware of the fact that some of us read lists like this. Lists that are intended to inspire us and encourage us and motivate us. Others of us read lists like this, and all we can think about are the ways that we have failed, that we have missed the mark. And really what it turns out being is just more expectations that are heaped upon you that you think they're just utterly impossible for you to be able to shoulder. And if that's the way you feel when you come to passages like this, I want to just let you know that the next verse, verse 30, contains some good news for those of you who feel that you are just overwhelmed by the expectations that are put upon you as a woman, as a wife, and as a mom. Because it says in verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So the source of all of these virtues comes down to this: a woman who fears the Lord. You see, what this does is it frees us, whether we're men or women, it frees us from chasing after that elusive image of success. It says there in verse 30 that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. It's an elusive image of success that we chase after and we're never able to fully capture it. But what this does is it frees us from that and it brings us to a place where the singular focus of our life is not what others think of us. Our mates, our kids, society, or anybody else, is the focus of our life is not what others think of us. The focus now becomes, what does God think of me? That becomes the greatest focus of a woman's life. That is the woman who fears the Lord. Now, I want to just dig down a little bit in that for just a moment and wrap up here by giving you just street smarts for moms who fear the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord, practically speaking? Let me give you just a few things that you can jot down on your note sheet. First of all, the fear of the Lord makes you take God seriously. If you're thinking about all of these qualities and how in the world will you ever be able to live up to these expectations, it all starts with simply the fear of the Lord, taking God seriously. It means that we take His name seriously, as we've done this morning in praising Him in our worship. It means we take His holiness seriously. It means that we take his worship seriously. It means that we take his word seriously. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Take God seriously. Next, the fear of the Lord makes you run to God, not away from him. It makes you run to God, not away from him. You know, sometimes if we take God seriously, it can cause us to think that a God like that could never be pleased with me. And so what ends up happening is that we run away from him rather than running to him. Running away from him, that's a dangerous thing to do. Think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they first sinned, what did they do? They hid themselves from God. That's a dangerous thing to do. Suppose your child is playing out in the front yard, and you notice that they are walking toward the street, and they're dangerously close to getting into the street and the traffic that's there. And so you shout at them, "Stop!" And you begin to move toward them. But the child misunderstands that. The child thinks, "Mommy's going to punish me. Daddy's going to punish me." And what do? They start running from you, which is a dangerous thing to do, into the traffic and the danger of the street. When the safest thing that child can do is to turn and run to you. You see, that's what the fear of the Lord is supposed to do. That at the very root of our life is this understanding that we need God, as awesome of God as he is and as holy as he is. We don't escape it, his wrath, by running from him. We escape it by running to him. And the way that we run to God is through his son, Jesus Christ. That when we come to Jesus, we come to him for salvation, for forgiveness, for redemption, for meaning, for purpose, for mercy, and all of those things that we do. The fear of the Lord can sometimes make us run from God rather than causing us to run to him. Isaiah 8, 13 and 14 says, "The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And he will be a sanctuary." Do you see? It's not intended to drive us away from God. It's intended to draw us to him, to run to him. And he becomes our refuge. That's what it means to fear the Lord. But then this also affects the people we live with. And that's the next thing. The fear of the Lord helps you provide spiritual protection for your family. The fear of the Lord helps you provide spiritual protection for your family. Proverbs 14:26 says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." So you see, what happens is that when you and I build that kind of security into our lives, that the Lord is our refuge, that he is our sanctuary, that it becomes the fortress for our lives, and we bring our loved ones and our family members into that fortress with us. And one of the greatest ministries that a mom can have in providing this spiritual protection is the ministry of intercession, praying for your family. Moms, wives, you can't provide everything that your family needs, but God can. You can't protect your family from all of the dangers out there, but God can. And that's why it's so important that from your place of refuge in Jesus, that you bring a spiritual cover over your family through intercession. Next, the fear of the Lord motivates you to give wise instruction. Motivates you to give wise instructions. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So fearing the Lord is where it starts. That's where we gain wisdom. Now remember, we read earlier, verse 26. I told you we'd come back to this. It says that she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now remember our memory verse for this series in Proverbs, Proverbs 2:6, that says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So, It comes from the mouth of God to your ears, to your hearts, to your mouth, and to the ears and the hearts of your children and to your husband, speaking truth, speaking wisdom. And by the way, when it talks about faithful instruction there in verse 26, literally it means the teaching of kindness. The teaching of kindness. That word is an amazing word, Old Testament word. It's the word hesed. Hesed, H-E-S-E-D. It means mercy. It means the steadfast love of the Lord, the unfailing love of the Lord. That should be the truth that we speak into the lives of our mates and our kids. And then the next, the fear of the Lord frees you to let God's love sustain you. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What does that mean? It means that you are free to let God's love sustain you. Psalm 103 verse 11 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love." There's that word again, hesed, his unfailing love for those who fear him. The ladies in my house are big fans of the hit series, Fixer Upper. How many of you watch Fixer Upper? Good many of you do. Joanna Gaines and her husband Chip live down in Waco, and they host this show where they help people to find old houses, fixer uppers, and help them buy it, help them renovate them. And it's a popular, very popular TV show. But Joanna Gaines knows the challenge of the demands that are placed upon women, wives, moms, business owner. But the big thing about Joanna Gaines is that she is a woman who fears the Lord. And I want you to see what that looks like in her life. Watch this.
I remember as a little girl, my mom was Korean and my father was Caucasian, and I never knew there was anything different about myself until I started going to school. And I'll never forget an experience I had with a school lunchroom. You know, I remember standing there and seeing the sea of people. It felt like all eyes were on me. And I was thinking, you know, who's going to be my friend? Who am I going to sit with? I started walking through that lunchroom, and then I remember darting straight out. And I found a bathroom, locked myself in a stall. But in those moments is when I really believe that that's where the lie was sown, that who I was wasn't good enough. You know, as we all do, I grew up and I grew out of the insecurities, had great friends, great childhood. And I remember in those times, I heard him specifically say, you know, "Joanna, I have a calling for you. You're gonna have a platform one day." And I remember thinking, what does that even mean? And I remember hearing God say, "Joanna, there's going to come a time where I'm going to say for you to go, and I'm going to need you to step out and go." After graduating college, you know, a couple years later, I end up meeting this handsome, rugged cowboy who was hilarious, Chip Gaines. And we got married, and he knew that I had this whole thing of businesses that I wanted to start, but he also knew I was never going to just take the risk and start them. I just dreamed about them. And he really encouraged me to step out and make one of those dreams happen. And we opened Magnolia Market together, and I loved it. You know, but at that time, I was also pregnant with my second child, and I really felt like God was saying, "Hey, I want you home. I want you raising these babies at home at this age." And I remember the last day, you know, we're closing the shop down and I'm crying because, again, I feel like it's the end of a dream. And I hear God say very clearly, he said, "Joanna, if you trust me with your dreams, I'm going to take Magnolia further than you could have ever dreamed. So just trust me." And I remember hearing that and feeling completely peaceful about it. And I walked away. Well, a couple years ago, we get this call from a production company, and they ask us to film a quick video of our family and what we do as a business, and that turned into the show that we have now. You know, Chip and I laugh. We look back and we just go, how did this all happen? And I remember last year, in January, Chip and I took a trip to Arizona, and we were driving around, and we found this really beautiful garden. And Chip said, I'm going to drop you off here. I'm going to give you about an hour, and I want you to kind of reflect on the year before and then just let God speak to you about what this next year is going to look like. And he dropped me off, and I'm sitting under this tree, and I felt like God said, Joe, it's time. And I was like, time for what? And he said, it's time to reopen your store. And I said, I don't think I can do that. And just cool and calm, no, it's time. May of last year, we reopened the shop on Bosque, the little shop on Bosque. And now I look back and I go, God, your promise that you spoke years ago, I'm now seeing. I trusted you with my dream, and you've taken it far beyond what I could have ever dreamed or imagined. You know, I can look back now on the pattern of my life and really believe God has a purpose for me, but he also has a purpose for you. And on the other side of that is the enemy, where he knows where to hit. He knows to hit below the belt. He's going to have that fear be, if you fail, and what if you fail in front of all these people? What if you fail and don't find someone in that lunchroom? What if your business fails? Whether it's you're staying home with your children and you're raising beautiful babies, or you're the CEO of a multi-million dollar company, let God speak into your life. Let his father heart come and say, this is what I have for you. And I think that's the key, not believing the lies, fixing our eyes on Jesus and walking in that truth.
You know, all of the expectations that are placed upon us, upon you as women and wives and moms, can just be so heavy that it can crush you unless there's an internal force and power that is stronger than all of the expectations on the outside. And that internal force and power is the fear of the Lord. It is where you allow his love in you to sustain you and to strengthen you and to give you all that you need to be able to fulfill all of the demands that are put upon your life. That's where it starts, with him. So I want to ask you to bow your head with me this morning, and with the word of God still ringing in our ears, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Do you need to open your life to Jesus Christ today? That you realize that all of the demands that this life puts on you and all of the demands that the Word of God puts on you cannot be fulfilled in your own strength. It happens as the Spirit of God comes to live within you and gives you that inner strength that is the fear of the Lord. And as you commit your life to Christ, surrender to him every day, you can live out the life that he's called you to live. Father, I pray this morning that hearts will be touched by your Spirit as we say and sing, have your own way, Lord. That's what we all need to come to that place, Lord, where we can say, God, I can't measure up to all of these, but Lord, you have your own way with me. I simply want to follow you. I want to fear you and live sustained by your love. And we ask it in Jesus' name.